All right, glad to have everybody here this morning to be able to worship the Lord. He guides and leads us every week, every day. As we stay close to Him, we can go through anything because He is with us. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. What is that known for? Matthew 6. Yeah? What they call the Lord's Prayer. It's right in between the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 5 starts out with the Beatitudes. It's talking about getting your attitude right, your spirit right. And you're blessed if you get your attitude right. That's what chapter 5 is about. Go into chapter 6. They ask about praying, how we should pray. And that's where the Lord gives this outline of what a prayer should include. This prayer is not to be recited as something that we should memorize and all of that, apart from memorizing the whole Bible. Go to it. Amen. But this prayer is just an outline. They wanted to know how to pray. They had no idea how to pray right. What Jesus would say about it. The Jews would just carry out their own kind of prayers that they had in the Old Testament and so forth. They weren't living for God. That's why they had to go into exile, and they had all kinds of fightings and everything else, and the Maccabees came, and big history there. But then there was 400 years of silence. God didn't speak. And sure enough, then the Son of God came. Well, we fast forward to Matthew chapter 6. And right in between what is called the Lord's Prayer, and we might as well read that for context, starting in verse 9, in verse 5 is actually the whole context. Let's go back there. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." You know, it doesn't have to be a closet like we know it. But it's good to get alone with God, away from people, is what he's talking about. And when thou hast shut thy door, make sure you're in a quiet place, away from others, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Don't say the same words over and over and over and over again. Only the heathen do that. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. After this manner, therefore pray ye. He said this is a manner, this is an outline. Make sure you address God as your Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's holy. Recognize who you're talking to. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And what every Christian should always say, amen. But then he says in verse 14 and 15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Verse 14 and 15. Those are stern words. The Lord say, you want your sins forgiven. You better make sure first that you forgive other people's sins that have sinned against you. Do we skip that part in our lives, in our Christian lives? I'm preaching on the courage that each one of us need to forgive. To forget of others. You understand that is preceding you asking forgiveness for yourself. Because you're just wasting your breath. If you hold something against others, don't forgive them for what they do. Forgiveness is pardoning sins and transgressions, and failures. Folks have failed you. Folks have sinned against you. And when you do forgive them, that's releasing yourself from the complications and the implications of those deeds. A lot of things happen in our lives. We wonder why. As I've taught and preached for over 45 years, there's a purpose and there's a reason for things in your life. And obviously, this is one of them. We go on in our lives and we don't forget of others. Jesus said, you're not going to get your forgiveness either. I want you to understand that only Christianity teaches complete forgiveness. Only Christianity teaches complete forgiveness. We need courage. We need strength to be able to forgive others. Wonder why sometimes your prayers are not answered the way you want? Could this be the problem? Jesus makes it pretty clear in those verses, doesn't he? 14 and 15. Hope you outlined them in your Bible. What about God's forgiveness? Sin is repugnant to God. Can't stand it. It goes right against His holiness. For God is pure, and God is holy. It violates God's holiness. What does God say to do about sin? change your mind about it. It's called repent. Repentance. Go to Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. I have many different messages on forgiveness, and it's important because we need remindness to be reminded about this subject within our lives, because we soon forget what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation that he feareth him, that feareth him, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him open, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to the testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all of the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they then prayed they him unto him certain days. That we had to repent. And when we do repent, he said that's the way that you get saved. You have to, in verse 43, you got to go through his name. Repentance has to be there within the life, a changing of the life. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Timmy, would you read that good and loud for us?
"And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more."
Mm-hmm. Once your sins are forgiven, that's an impossibility with God to remember them. I have a whole message on the things that God cannot do. And this is one of them. He can't remember our sins. Once we repent and call upon the name of the Lord, they are absolutely gone. He cannot bring them to memory. Now that's the forgiveness of God. I wish it was the same way with us mortals down here on earth. Which brings me to the interpersonal forgiveness. Mano and mano, huh? Person to person. Man to man. Forgiving. Just like the Lord's Prayer said. Because when you take to heart something that someone did bad to you, or said about you, or whatever it may be, that haunts you. It's on your mind, it's on your heart. Your interpersonal forgiveness of that person will be a bad thing for you if you don't get it right. It'll cause inner torment. It'll cause spiritual defeat in your life. You'll have pent-up resentment toward that person or persons. You'll have bitterness. You'll carry around in your life and in your mind the rest of your life past hurts. How long will you carry that grudge? God's forgiveness places an obligation on your duty to forgive that person or persons. We just read it in Matthew 6:14. That's something you have to get right even today. Not only to everyone that's hearing my voice from the pulpit here in church, but also on the internet as you have chosen to hear this message. God is speaking to you about that this morning. Go to Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 3 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." In other words, your forgiveness is infinite. You want to be like God. We are followers of God. Sometimes we get hurt so deep. Our pride is wounded. And we've got this haunting here the rest of our lives if we don't get this thing right with God. A little boy was visiting his grandparents. He has given his first slingshot out on the farm. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came back to Grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. Her pet duck. On an impulse, he just took aim and let fly. The stone hit and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today, didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally smiled and said, "That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it, don't you, Johnny?" Again, she whispered, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it any longer. He confessed to Grandma that he killed her pet duck. Grandma said, "I know, Johnny," giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." Forgiveness makes all the difference. And getting forgiveness from someone makes all the difference. Need to keep the path clean and clear between you and others. Some carry grudges even to their death. Hurt so deep. Go to Matthew chapter 5 this time. Matthew 5, verse 43, I call your attention. Matthew 5:43, he says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Don't be confused. The word perfect does not mean sinless. It means complete. It means whole. Follow the example of Jesus. He forgave us, did he not? Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Now let's try verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It tells us to forbear in the Bible. That means hold back. You got to lose that ego to be able to forgive someone else that has wronged you. There can't be any ego involved in that. I like Scripture, so we look at Scripture for our guidance. Go to Mark chapter 11. Get it right from God. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So Matthew makes it clear, and Mark makes it clear. What's Luke say? Go to Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 34. Because Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You talk about bad timing. You talk about what a time to forgive the ones that are murdering him. They had that intent. Little did they know this was the whole plan of God. So that we could be saved, he had to die on that cross. Had to. That's why he stayed on the cross. What a beautiful attitude for Jesus to die. He had no bitterness. He's hanging on that cross, and guess what his thoughts are? You. He's thinking of you. That's why he's dying on that cross. God wants us to have a beautiful attitude within our lives. But you can't do that if you don't have forgiveness. And you won't get your forgiveness unless you do that, obviously. Is what he says. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. We get the truth many places that we can in the Bible. Of course, all of the Bible is truth, but there are certain verses that God uses to speak to our hearts. Acts chapter 7, and in verse 60. Here's Stephen the deacon after he preached to the Jews about Christ. They stoned him to death. It says in verse 60, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said thus, he fell asleep. Stephen wanted his heart like Jesus' heart, his attitude like Jesus had. Even the last words out of his mouth would be, "Forgive them." Do you think you're better than Jesus? Think you're better than Stephen? God is grieved when little slights and misunderstandings drive a wedge of division between his own people. Forgiveness is enough to ease my conscience. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. Always want to get the full story from the Lord. He speaks all the way through his word on different subjects. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. It says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. There's those that gossip, say bad things behind your back to you. Oh, they greet you well. They're kind to you in front of you, but that's not what's going on in their heart. What's it tell you right there? It's a hypocrite. He's trying to destroy. That neighbor is not forgiving. The word that's used there is aphemi. Means to completely cancel debts totally without reservation. And the last thing, we've covered forgiveness of from God. Then we've covered our interpersonal forgiveness to others. And the last point is forgiveness of yourself. God's given us all a wonderful mind, wonderful brain. But Satan likes to get in there and cause havoc. Try to justify your bitterness and your unforgiveness towards someone when God says the exact opposite. Forgive them even though they don't deserve forgiveness. So God's given you that wonderful mind, and that's a function of memory. So you can't have victory in your life. Guilt is robbing you of that victory. And the source is the devil. Revelation 12:10 tells you that. It'll haunt a saint of God. You know who that person is that's in your mind. What circumstance there is in your mind. Who knows what Hebrews 11 is all about? Speak up. No one. What's that? Okay. Yeah. Got one to speak up anyway. That's a hall of faith. All of the great men of the Old Testament are listed there. Moses and Noah and on, Abraham. In Hebrews 11, they're faith heroes. It's a hall of fame. It never mentions the heroes' sin. Never mentions their moral failures. Why is that? God forgot them. He couldn't even put it in the Word of God. He's already forgot them. They've already asked for his forgiveness. That's why God used them in such a great way. So when you recall the past, you're doing what God cannot do. Where do you get off doing that? You won't get your sins forgiven if you don't forgive other sins. That's on the basis of what Jesus Christ himself said many times. Two last verses and we close. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Call your attention to verse 1, folks. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not forgiving someone is walking after the flesh. And there is condemnation if you stay in that. The promise is there's no condemnation for those that are in the Spirit. Don't kid yourself. God sees you, sees your heart, sees your conscience, sees everything about you. God wants you to be free from that. He wants you to have that guilt, shame that you hold against others. And you hold it yourself because you can't have your sin forgiven if you don't forgive the other sin. The last verse is in John chapter 8. We go to Romans chapter 8 to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 36, we know it so well, we just need to read it again. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You don't want that conflict in your mind, in your spirit. Jesus made a way for you to get rid of that. He can make you free of that. Free indeed, he will. You want to be a slave like the little boy that killed the pet duck? You'll be a slave the rest of your life. The only thing that saved that boy was he confessed it. Will you do that today? I'm doing that as I preach. All of us are sinners. I'm glad that Jesus saves sinners. I'm glad he can make us free in our Christian lives even. It's up to you to take care of that today. Take care of it right now. You got in your mind that person or that event that happened. Forgive them. forgive me. Our Heavenly Father, give us courage to forgive. I pray each one that has heard these words preached this morning, here in God's house and also on our website, that, Lord, you might use it to touch hearts and give the answer for a completely free life following the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've given us the truth. Thank you that you are willing to change our lives for the good. Help us to have the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your hymn books, please. Number 202.